Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast. We're here in Henry Addington's at Canary Wharf. I'm Simon, joining me is Mike.
Hello.
That's my boy.
And there's Stu.
Afternoon.
And there is Jim.
Hello. I'm just happy to be near Mike. That's my boy.
That's well, my boy. What's the biggest derby match in British football and why? Now, normally I'd normally ask one of you guys first, but I'm gonna go first. That's all right, because you're all probably gonna come out with like well established derby matches. I'm going for one that has never ever been played, and it may happen next year. AFC Wimbledon against Milton Keynes Dons. Is there a bigger derby match in Britain? Yes. And if there is, we've got to be at that game. We have to go to that game. Well, I mean, there's history there. It's just not been on the pitch, is it? And it can happen next year. So AFC Wimbledon v MK Dons. But MK Dons could get relegated from League One. AFC Wimbledon are looking good to get promoted. So it could happen next year. So that's my one, Stu.
I've gone Merseyside derby.
Topical.
Liverpool, Everton. Obviously, it's this weekend. It's our prediction as well, isn't it?
Yep.
I was doing some research on it this morning. The grounds are less than a mile apart, just separated by a little park.
Stanley Park. Yeah.
Stanley Park. It's been played 182 times in league football. 71 wins for Liverpool, 56 for Everton.
Go on Wikipedia.
Drawn for 55. In fact, Wikipedia is very good for this nowadays.
But what makes it the biggest derby in Britain? That's just stats. Back it up with something.
Less than a mile apart, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good match, isn't it?
I've got another derby that's less than a mile apart, which is Northwich Vicks versus Witton Albion, but it's not a big.
Oh, now we're talking. Yeah. Now we're talking.
Well, look, I can't see.
Club's ground share. I know who he is because his mum told us on Facebook. Yeah.
That's my boy.
That's my boy. I think we need to explain it. We're in about a minute of the podcast going up last
less
week.
Less than that.
Well, I don't know about less than that. Mike's mum had commented on Facebook, that's my boy.
I have to say, that's my boy. I have to say, I pulled her up on this, and she didn't realise other people could see things. Even though we're not friends on Facebook.
Yeah, right.
What can I say? She's proud of me. It does remind me of the story Jim told me the other week when his dad found him asleep on the kitchen floor.
All right, come on.
And showed some great pride in him saying, "Jim, you're 27. but yeah, parents, eh?
Yeah.
Great.
That's my boy.
I can actually see on your list, though, a reason for it being the biggest derby, which is Neville Southall, who is the biggest goalkeeper to ever play in a derby.
He's made the most appearances in the Merseyside derby.
And the most appearances in Goodison Fish and Chips outside. So.
Good stats, Sue.
Yeah.
Not much content.
Well, I do apologise.
All right, what have you got for Mike?
Well, it's not really Witton versus Northwich, though. That is a blood war to end all blood wars. I had a few. Newcastle, Sunderland, they ate each other. Rangers, Celtic. It's not really a derby, but I'd go for United versus Liverpool. There's no bigger hatred than that. There's no bigger game. Even though Liverpool will soon be having their derbies with Tranmere, it's still the one to watch out for. And I mean, as Leeds showed last season, just because they're a few divisions down, don't mean it's not a big game and play us. I'll go for United, Liverpool.
Cool. Jim?
Can I say Serbia, Italy?
Oh, 8 minutes it lasted?
Given last night's fireworks.
It's another one that
it lasted 8 minutes.
It's another one that's never been played, didn't it?
It got called off after 8 minutes.
It was only 1600.
The Serbian fans had turned up. I was following it online while I was watching. Well, I wasn't watching England because we'll talk about that in a minute.
No.
But the Serbian fans had pitched up and they were pulling like bolt cutters out of their trouser legs and cutting their way through the fence.
They've done well to get them in the ground, haven't they?
Yeah.
So obviously security not at a premium.
They've got netting. They've got netting to stop them throwing fireworks and stuff. So they just cut round it. Just cut big holes in it. Brilliant.
Little embroidery scissors.
Yeah. They did a bit.
They were tooled up for it, and they didn't send in the riot police because there were apparently a lot of. Got genuine sort of peace loving Serbian fans there you go.
But I can't have that because it's not in Britain, so I'm going to go for the Old Farm.
The Old Farm derby.
The Old Farm derby. Not the Old Firm, the Old
Ipswich
Farm.
Ipswich versus Norwich.
Yeah, and I haven't got loads of stats, so I don't really care about stats, but if you live in Norwich, you're not going to live for much else than the Old Farm derby.
That's the biggest game, then. It is the biggest game.
That's the biggest thing
it's
in
the
their
biggest
life.
Thing they've got.
So, yeah, I'm going to go for the Old Farm. Also, I've got a question on derbies.
Go on, then.
This is open to anyone around the table. Chubb, you haven't said anything yet. Okay.
I didn't know I was allowed to get involved.
Who has scored in a Manchester, Merseyside, and Glasgow derby?
Andrei Kanchelskis.
Correct. Thanks.
Right, moving on.
Absolutely.
On a postcard, please.
Right. We're recording this on a Wednesday. Obviously, this is the day after England's plucky 0-0 draw with Montenegro. We did well to hold a football nation with the population the size of not as much as Leeds. Leeds have got more people, and it's just as well we didn't play Leeds, because I think Leeds would have beat us last night. England were absolutely dreadful. I mean, did you see the game, Mike?
I sort of slept through most of it after watching the first few minutes. It was just dull. I mean, they're not a bad side, Montenegro, even though they do have a tiny population.
But they are a bad side. They've not even won a game before the qualifier started.
They had.
Admittedly, they weren't in existence, but it doesn't matter. They're still crap.
No, but it's just depressing. It's just no ideas. Lots of Hollywood balls and Gareth Barry apparently playing, although I didn't know.
He was just sort of bumbling around the midfield.
He didn't do any less than Gerrard.
Gerrard hit some Hollywood balls to nobody at least.
Or to Sean Wright Phillips, basically. Now, why bring Sean Wright Phillips on?
I don't understand how he gets in.
Sean Wright Phillips is crap. Rio Ferdinand's crap. Shouldn't even be in the team, let alone captain.
In fact, I switched it off. I turned it on for one thing. I watched Rio Ferdinand lose the ball and had to track back maybe 50 yards with Gerrard doing all the work.
And then your girlfriend made you switch it back over to
and then I won the one. I won the Formula One World Championship last night.
Good, well done. And he made it into work this morning.
On
so
the
well
PlayStation,
done.
How about that?
We knew it was on the PlayStation 2. We didn't actually think he'd actually won the FIFA One Championship.
You didn't know.
I did know. No. I had a good idea. It was either Xbox or PlayStation. You've gone for PlayStation.
It
well
was
done.
PlayStation.
But anyway, Rio Ferdinand's crap. Sean Wright Phillips is crap. Ashley Young's a cheating little shit.
He's a designated diver.
He's the biggest diver in the Premiership. He gets no press for it just because he's English. I hate him.
At one point, you run in the penalty area, dived and got booked, and Andy Townsend went, I've seen penalties given for less than that. I'm like, what? For throwing yourself in the box? Townsend's terrible.
Go back to the tactics.
Andy Townsend, terrible pundit.
Joe Cole should have been in there.
No, at least
on the bench.
No.
Who would you rather bring on, Joe Cole or Sean Wright Phillips? Honest answer.
No,
I'd rather bring Stewart on than Sean Wright.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he had his helmet on. He's still in the F1 car, so he might have won a few headers.
Busy.
I like the fact Kevin Davies came on and decapitated someone's esophagus with the first thing he did as well. That bloke was on the floor for ages. Like, I can't. Oh, yes, you can. He didn't even touch you. Yeah, I got quite angry at the football last night. Mm.
There was only one player I could really pick out as having done okay, and that was Adam Johnson. He was the only one who looked even remotely interested.
Yeah, he does look a bit strange as well, though, doesn't he?
He's a bit peaky, isn't he? Yeah.
He looks
really
like
pale.
A confused tourist to me. Yeah.
It's a shame that we couldn't see him in Andy Carroll link up.
Yes. Yeah. But they didn't have their best player playing, that Vucinic.
Vucinic, he likes to take his shorts off whenever he scores.
Yeah, he's their only decent player.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wales lost 4-1 anyway. Against Switzerland. Who could see four against Switzerland? It's brilliant.
Northern Ireland drew with the fucking Faroe Islands.
Yeah,
and they came from behind to get that as well. They were 1-0 down.
Hard fought.
Against a team that had three professional players in it.
Beautiful stadium on the Faroe Islands.
Oh, it's amazing.
One of them is just a grass bank,
like
one of their stands.
Of a cliff.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
I like the fact England was shit, but most of the other nations were shit around it.
Yeah.
So. Scotland still lost. No, they lost. You're going to say, oh, Scotland
they
did alright.
Well,
yeah, who cares? They lost.
The one thing worse than the match was 6:06. You have never heard a bigger group of toss pieces ring out the radio.
Why was you listening?
I don't know, really. My missus said, why are you listening to this? You just get angry listening to it. Guy rung up. He just rung up, ranted for 5 minutes about Brian Clough not getting the England job, which is about 30 years too late, and then complained that Capello didn't pick Lee Camp for his World Cup squad.
What's the problem there?
Wonder who he supports.
You just got to turn it off.
At that point, I did. Right, we'll move on to our Fantasy 11 this week. And it's quite a difficult one to pick. I thought this was quite a good idea at the time. Our team of the season so far. Nick, why don't you start off?
Mick.
That's my boy.
Whatever your name is, mate.
Yeah, M.
Well, your mum's not going to be happy if I get your name wrong, is he?
It's fucking me now.
Get her some dog shit sent through the mail.
That's what she's wrote to you before, Jim.
I kept the letter.
Oh dear. Yeah, who's your team of the season
so
far?
My team of the season so far, in goals I've gone for Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Simply because he's stepped up a level at City. One mistake so far, but to be honest, it seems to be a dearth of keepers really doing much special.
Yeah.
Right back, most of the league's right backs have been shit. I had to stop myself going for Gary Neville purely because after last week,
the loving,
I think I would have been kicked out. So I've gone for Luke Young, who has reclaimed his place in the Villa side and unfortunately no longer is eligible for England.
Yeah.
So you have to put up with Glenn Johnson playing on the right wing. Centre half, Phil Jagielka and Alex, both done a decent job. Left back Ashley Cole, because Patrice Evra has been rubbish.
Yeah.
Midfield, right wing Nani, partly for playing quite well, partly for his acting. Stepped it up a level, I think. Oscar season's coming up. Centre midfield, Michael Essien and Paul Scholes.
Yeah.
Both played well. Left wing, Florent Malouda. Just ahead of Gareth Bale, but Malouda's got the goals. And up front, Drogba and Berbatov. Managing the team, I went for Di Matteo.
Okay.
He's done a good job at West Brom. He's done what Tony Mowbray was going to do until Tony Mowbray was shit. So, not done too bad. And then, a few honourable mentions. A few honourable mentions. Peter Cech. Lescott's had a decent season. Yeah. Marco Brighton. Done well at Villa. Yeah. Charlie Adams stepped it up.
Yeah.
Darren Bent. Peter Odemwingie. However that's pronounced.
Naming the whole premiership.
Yeah, Jordan Henderson, Stanley Matthews,
Jeff Hurst,
yeah, my own mum.
That's my boy.
My boy. Cool.
I've gone for Joe Hart.
Yeah.
Across the back I've gone for Clint Hill.
Yeah.
Connolly.
Yeah.
Kasper Skoggs.
Yeah.
And Kyle Walker.
And what do they all have in common?
They play in the QPR back four.
Okay.
He conceded one in the last six before the international break.
Yeah.
And then in the midfield, I've gone for, it was Malouda, but after hearing all Brighton, I'm going to go for all Brighton on the right midfield.
Yeah.
Johnson on the left. And then Derry, who in my eyes has been the most important QPR player all season. And then Essien in the middle with Drogba and Mackie up front.
Cool. I'm going to let Jim go last because he's halfway for a club sandwich. My 11, I've gone for Joe Hart in goal. I've gone for the Manchester City back four because they've been the best defence in the Premier League this year. Richards, Lescott, Company, who I think is really underrated, and Kolo Touré, who I think is probably a bit overrated, to be honest, but they've played well this season, so they're my defence. Midfield, I've gone for all Brighton on the right, and then I've gone a bit off-piste a little bit. Charlie Adam in the middle. I think he's been excellent for Blackpool. Adel Tarat, centre midfield, doing the business for QPR, scoring or creating every week. And on the left of midfield, because I had to get a Gillingham player in, and there's only one who's actually done anything this season, and that's Chris Palmer, who's been our best player of the season. He's been excellent. He's pretty much assisted on every goal we've scored so far.
How many have we actually scored?
We scored two on Saturday and he set both of those up.
He's
a good player. Whenever he plays in midfield, he seems to do the business for us. So he's in. Up front, I've gone for two players outside the Premier League. Mackie, for doing the business there, and Adam Lafondra of Rotherham, who is probably one of the best players outside the top two divisions, scoring absolutely loads of goals from Rotherham. I'm amazed he hasn't been sold or he hasn't attracted bids in the summer. He did really well. He's at Rotherham, he's doing the business. I think he'll probably leave. He was at Rochdale. He did well for Rochdale. He went to Rotherham. I thought he'd have gone to a bigger club than that, but he's banging them in for Rotherham. They're top of League 2, I think, well in the top 2 or 3. He's going to leave in January, I'm sure of it. He's too good to stay there. And manager, I've gone for Warnock, which you'll approve of, obviously.
He'd probably been my manager.
But he's done the business. Jim,
I picked a decent team, apart from Gary Neville, the right back. Hart in goal, Lescott and Company centre backs. Yeah. Lescott hasn't actually played that much for Man City centre back, but he's doing well for England. Ashley Cole left back, he's the best. Walcott right wing, Johnson left wing.
Yep.
Rotate him. They can change around willy nilly. Just go for it, boys. Just do what you want. Midfield, Wiltshire, Arsenal, and then Jordan Henderson, who Mike mentioned as well. He's brilliant.
His goal the other day.
Yeah, goal for under 21s is awesome, but he's playing well for Sunderland as well. Then up front, Berbatov up front with Van der Vaart, who I don't know why no one else mentioned him.
He's been outstanding.
Yeah, he's been brilliant. Other considerations, Joey Barton.
Yeah.
He's playing well. Matty Jarvis, Malouda, I think Mike had in, Essien, Andy Carroll, got to mention him, start of the season. Backstick, very good, and Tevez as well.
Who was that right back again, Jim?
Gary Neville. Put him in. So Gary Neville's the only position. I looked at all the right backs in the Premiership. There's no one.
Gary Neville has played one game this season
and he
against
makes your
Everton.
Team.
Which
threw away a 2-goal lead in stoppage time.
Yeah, but that moustache.
Go on, Stu. You go first.
Well, I've got nothing exciting, to be honest. There's a language barrier. I don't particularly understand. The website, when I go onto the website to read it, and Sky News doesn't have a great deal.
Can't Google
of
translate it into English? I'll have to show you how that works.
It doesn't do it very well, mate.
Okay.
The main articles, it doesn't. And Sky don't really do anything on them apart from all the games they lose.
You need to subscribe to ESPN, they're all over the Eredivisie.
Oh, maybe I should get on that then.
Can you not get Digraph Chap TV through Sky these days?
crap. Well, DGTV.
Yeah.
I think they're in negotiations at the moment, from what I could understand on the website, but nothing positive come of it, I don't think.
So have you got any news at all about how your team gone?
They've got a game this weekend.
Did they not play last weekend?
No, oh, it's international. Yeah. So it's been a bit boring, and there's been no new articles gotten in the past couple of days, so...
Okay. As if you could understand them anyway.
No.
Stuart Hall, finger on the pulse. There we go.
Go on, Mike. Right. Well, it's been quite an eventful week for Northwich Vicks, starting with a 1-1 draw with Kendall last week.
They played Kendall. The international break.
They played Kendall. They did. Well, yeah, it was close to having too many players called up.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, we played the Mint Cakes last midweek. And drew 1-1, they equalised late on. And I want to call out their manager, Lee Ashcroft, who...
Call out their manager.
Is a former Preston winger, had one England under-21 cap, and not done much else. He said that Northwich would be nowhere near the top of the league come the end of the season, which is frankly ludicrous, as we're 7 points ahead of them and have a game in hand on them. So, don't know what he's on, but I'd like some of it. Then last weekend, to prove that bastard wrong, Vicks went away to Colwyn Bay and won 6-0.
Very difficult place to go, Colwyn.
Very, not great roads around there. Four goals from top scorer in the Evo Stick League, Oliver Ryan, and two from Wetting Rye League. So all going well. And then last night, there were actually 425 people in the country not watching England, because they were watching Northwich Vicks beat Marine 4-3 in the last minute, thanks to Jonathan Crane. Came on as a sub last minute goal. Brilliant.
Sounds like a great game.
Well, the other goal scorers, I'll tell you, were Ollie Ryan, Wayne Riley and Andy Fowler. Andy Priest, the manager, was very happy, although he has been linked with the vacant Lincoln City job.
Is that the ex-Blackpool striker?
That's the ex-Blackpool and Crystal Palace player, yeah. He's come out of retirement to be our player manager at 43. played once so far this season. Other than that, we've also got Lincoln United, Lincoln City's big rivals, and surprisingly not mentioned in the Derby games, in an FA Trophy qualifier on Saturday, so fingers crossed for that.
Cool. Jim, you want to go next?
Yeah, the big news on Hastings, the pier burnt down.
What?
Oh, I don't know if anyone saw it. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Talk about pier pressure.
Insurance job?
I don't think so, mate. I don't think so. Nice of you to think that straight away. Like, arrested two little scallywags of 18 and 19. It's actually really sad. One of the last piers. It wasn't actually in use, but still bad news. And it's iconic, Hastings. And my mum and dad might have had something to do with it, because they couldn't sleep one day.
Had something to do with burning it down?
Well, maybe. I mentioned it to my dad at the weekend. He was like, and my mum jumped in. Oh, yeah, strange, because we both couldn't sleep Monday night, could we? What the fuck's that got to do with anything?
I can tell you...
Because of the smell of petrol on your hands, you'll be...
I can tell you, it wasn't my mum. She was too busy ringing her friends and telling them about my podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
On Facebook.
So, away from the pier, onto the actual football news. They've had a couple of games since we last spoke. They drew them both 1-1. Cole Shorten on last Tuesday. 2-0 and Mitchell on Saturday. Michael Phillips scored a game. Yeah, ex-Gills. And they drew last night 3-3 with Whitehawk in the Championship Manager League Cup.
Championship manager is sponsoring the cup.
Yeah, the Instrument League Cup.
So the winners all get like a copy of the game. Is that?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
that's their medal,
or just an instruction manual.
Whitehawk, a heavy metal band
on a string.
They are a heavy metal band, and also
and a football team,
an Instrument South team as well. So they drew 3-3, and it went to penalties, and they won on pens. Excuse me, Sam Adams scored twice.
Yeah,
and I thought I'd look in a little bit more depth at Sam Adams. So Sam Adams, okay, Sam Adams. it's Adeolunda's partner up front. 240 appearances for him across five seasons, which is rare loyalty for down there, as we were talking about the other day. 66 goals, probably now 68 after last night. Yeah. He's their designated penalty taker. Plays right wing and centre midfield as well as up front. And he actually prefers playing centre midfield to up front, but they put him up front because he gets the goals. He's not 24 till next month, so he's quite young still.
Yeah.
So five seasons there. He's been there since he was young. He's also, before Hastings used to put a sub keeper on the bench, he used to be their backup keeper. and in 08-09, he went in goal for the second half against Cole Shorten and kept a clean sheet. Plus, before he went in goal, he'd already scored to make it 1-0, and they held on and won 1-0.
So he scored the winning goal. Played in goal.
And played the second half in goal and kept a clean sheet.
He's like, you are, yeah.
Do you think he got a goal bonus and a clean sheet bonus?
Probably, yeah. He's done very well.
He's done very well.
That's superb.
Yeah, so that's Sam Adams. You are, yeah. Moving on to our Riverside, our amateur team. We lost 5-1 to Medway Colts. Chug scored.
Yay!
And he's here today.
That's about it. And we've roped him in. Chug, what thoughts on the goal?
How does it make you feel?
I'm so proud. I'm so proud to be here today for the podcast. I must confess, I have listened to it once before, so I kind of know what's going on, but it's a privilege.
Yeah, now talk about the goal.
Tell us about the goal.
Oh, it's beauty.
No, it wasn't.
A corner came in, I towered above the defenders, got a header on target.
Broke someone's leg.
Someone cleared it off the line, and I smashed in the rebound.
How far out were you?
2 yards, yeah. And we were 5 down at the time.
It's a true story.
2 yards out, 5-0 down, and yeah, he nearly smashed it over.
Consolation.
But still, yeah, like you say, great goal.
Excellent. Who have you got next week?
Don't know. Back to a league game next week, I think.
Cool.
So I'm not actually sure who we've got, but I'll find out.
Okay, my adopted side, Peterhead. It was the big game of the weekend.
Mm.
The Alba Challenge Cup semi-final against Queen of the South, who are a division above and doing very well in the division above. The Blue Toon had the better of the first half. They hit the crossbar just before half time. I think it was Paul Emsey hit the crossbar. But then in the second half, Queen of the South hit 2 in 60 seconds. Which...
That's a problem for any team.
Gone in 60 seconds.
Yeah. But Peterhead's
cup chances gone in 60 seconds.
But they rallied, they came back. Martin Babbage pulled one back, and there was a tense finale, and they were battering the Queen of South goal. Couldn't quite get the breakthrough, so they narrowly lost out 2-1. Which, and it, from the people I've spoken to, it was a really, really good
all-round. No,
there's no replay when you lose 2-1.
Is it a two-legged affair?
Sadly not. No, I mean, it was at Balmore, which is Peterhead's home ground.
Like Paul McCartney's ex-wife, it wasn't a two-legged affair.
Bumtish.
That's good. Chug like that.
That would have been great in 2001.
Yeah. Alright, come on.
Yeah, so they didn't quite make it through. They went out. It sounds like they played really well, so hopefully they can carry the sort of level of performance that they put on Saturday into the league and start pushing up the league table. Right, okay, moving on to Stu's news. Stu, what have you got for us?
I'm going to hand it over to Jim for this week. Jim's got Stu's news.
Okay.
Mohamed Kalon. Remember him?
Yeah.
Young forward for Inter Milan. Came through the ranks, Sierra Leone international, no less.
Right.
Came through the ranks, was one of the hottest props in international football, really. Played for Inter, then went to Monaco. Scored about 14, 15 goals at each club. Left Monaco and went back to Sierra Leone. And when he went back, he was cast as a failure by everyone in European football. They were like, oh, he could have been a really good player, but certain things happened. Like Obafemi Martins came through, and Adriano signed for Inter Milan, which forced him to Monaco. And in Monaco, he didn't really get a chance. So basically, he went back to Sierra Leone, and in October 2009, he created his own team. He installed himself as chairman, manager, captain, and played himself central midfield. If that wasn't good enough, he called him Kalon FC.
Isn't that what Flavio Briatore was trying to do at QPR?
He got there nearly. Yeah. He didn't change
to Briatore Park Rangers. But yeah. So he's called it Kalon FC, played himself out of position in central midfield, and then he sold himself to a Chinese team.
He sold himself.
So he's now playing for a Chinese team. I don't know if Kalon FC are still going, but they've got no manager, playmaker, captain, chairman,
kit man,
owner. They've got nothing.
Groundsman.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
He sold himself to a Chinese team.
Yeah, they're Chinese.
Are you sure he's not just in his bedroom playing Sabutio?
Yeah. And he's only 19 African forward, so he's only 19.
19, yeah.
Born again.
He's probably about 32, right?
Born again footballer.
And Mike, you had something as well for Tuesday, didn't you?
I do, yeah. Bit of news, it's been around for a while. Obviously we all remember Dion Dublin, who has always had quite an impressive instrument in his arse, in his arsenal. Hey, what happens in the United dressing room stays in the United dressing room.
That was an unfortunate hesitation there.
He's always been known for his his abilities.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he's actually been developing a new instrument. This one, actually a musical one, a percussion instrument, called the Dube, for a year now. And this week it's been endorsed by Tim Westwood,
yeah.
Feeder, And Muse.
Muse and the Jews.
Muse like the Jews.
Stu Muse.
Stu's Jews. Yeah. No, Muse's sound engineer Martin Carolyn said, "I've been testing the Duke with Muse, and Dion's done a fantastic job developing it. It truly is a complete instrument. So versatile."
Do you know what it sounds like yet? I want
to
for anyone
who doesn't know what it is, it's basically a box.
Chuck knows about it.
It's like a set. It's like a little set of drums. Each side of the Duke plays a different note. So it's a bit like a set of tom-toms, but it's in like a box form, and you can get it all branded up. So potentially, if we wanted to fork out a few quid, or if Dion's listening, and they probably isn't after what we just said, if he wants to send us a football podcast due, then obviously Stuart will play it on the show. So I can see Stuart as a drummer in the band.
Stu, did you have any students?
No, I left it for you two this week, mate.
Well, I've actually got some as well.
Everyone's got Stu News parts too.
Yeah, right. Cheers, mine
it's not called Stu News anymore.
Mine actually took place at the game that I was at on Saturday.
The what, sorry?
The game that I was at on Saturday. Gillingham v Stockport County. Pretty nondescript League 2 game. Gillingham won the game 2-1. But about 5 minutes from half time, the referee Graham Ballwood pulled up with a calf injury, went off hurt. Okay, that happens in games, it's not that unusual. But unfortunately, for whatever reason, he wasn't fit enough to even come out and be the fourth official in the second half. So the Tannoy announcer came up and said, "Right, is there anyone in the crowd who's a qualified referee? We need you to be the fourth official," right? No one answered the call. No one. Which is quite unusual, there's normally one or two in the crowd.
And if you do put your hand up and say, "Yeah, I am," do they prove it at all? They're just like, "Oh,
I don't really know." Because I mean,
you got your license? No.
Because when I did that on an aeroplane, I said I was a doctor. It didn't work out so great. But what's the worst that can happen if you do it at a football game? Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'll be fourth official.
So we had no fourth official, and then Gillingham wanted to make a substitute. So our 68-year-old kit man, Malcolm Steadman, who's well known to the Jills fans, he's a bit of a character, basically took it upon himself to become the fourth official. Held the board up, and once he'd done it for the first sub, he was kind of committed at that point. Paul Simpson on the Stockport bench didn't complain, he was quite happy. He got him doing the subs for Stockport as well. He had to deal with five substitutions in the second half, and he had to put the board up for stoppage time, and he put 5 minutes up when we were 2-1 up and hanging on. And over the tannoy, it was like, "Malcolm the kit man has just announced there will be 5 minutes added on," and all the crowd are like, "Boo!" giving him loads of stick.
Malcolm.
He was on the Radio 5 Live on Monday night on the 5 Live Football League, and they interviewed him and they said, "Are you a qualified ref?" And he's like, "No." And they said, "So did anyone ask you to do it?" He said, "No." So he literally just grabbed the board and decided to do it himself.
If they'd asked him to be the actual ref, he would have been Malcolm in the middle.
There you go.
Chug loved that one. He's left.
He's not happy. But no, so Malcolm Steadman, top man, and he gave Chappers on the radio a few tips on how to keep his socks the right length and not shrink them in the tumble dryer. So Malcolm Steadman, top man. Right, that's I hesitate to call it Stu's News, seeing as Stu was the only one who didn't have any. That's us done for the week. Weekend predictions now. The big game this weekend is Everton v Liverpool. Talking about derby matches, this is one of the big ones. It's on Sunday at 1:30, Sky Sports 1. In an unusual twist, our guest predictor is actually sitting here this week. So Riverside goal scorer extraordinaire Chug is going to tell us what he thinks about Everton v Liverpool. And give us a score prediction as well.
Oh, well, I think it'll be a good, feisty affair. Bearing in mind Liverpool are pretty shit. Yeah. I'm going for an Everton win.
Okay.
I will go 2-0 Everton on the basis Tony Hibbert does not play. If Hibbert plays, 2-1.
Not a Hibbert fan.
That's punditry. Okay, Stu.
2-1 Everton.
Okay. Any more than that?
Everton's 57th Merseyside win.
Oh, go on the stats. You can't use the same stats again. You used them earlier. They're recycled material now.
Neville Southall for his 42nd appearance.
I didn't know the podcast had gone green, Stu. Start recycling everything. All right, Mike.
Seeing as Liverpool have got rid of the Yanks this morning, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for them.
The Yanks gone this morning, have they?
Well, they've effectively been booted out, yeah.
Yanks for the memories.
Oh, you are absolutely on
fire. It sounds like the chemicals in my eye.
Yeah, go on, Jim.
Are you finished, Mike?
I'm finished.
I don't want to cut you off in your prime. you are my boy. First of all, Pat Sharp got his prediction right last week.
He did.
Bang on the money.
Yeah.
2-1. So well done, Pat Sharp. and he asked you to pass on that the Twins had a fantastic birthday. So it's very good all round.
That was an incredible coincidence.
It was, yeah. So I'm going to go Liverpool to draw this game. Yeah, for the same reason.
So Everton can draw as well, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I'm concentrating on Liverpool because I think Liverpool have got a lot more riding on it than Everton with the basis of, like Mike said, the court case and happening.
Yeah.
So that's going to give them a bit of boost. I would have put down a 2-1 Everton win, but I'm going to go 2-2. There's some goals in it.
Yeah.
I hope it's some goals as well. The half one kickers have been crap so far on a Sunday, so 2-2.
I have. I've actually changed my prediction in the light of the court case, which really shouldn't make any footballing sense, but
it does, that doesn't it? Sometimes it just
I thought Everton would win this game 1-0, but I think in the light of what's happened, I think there's going to be a real feel good atmosphere around Liverpool Football Club. I think they'll be really up for it, and I think Liverpool are going to win this one by 3-2.
But that's why, if it was at home, I'd agree with that even more, because the home,
especially
crowd,
at Anfield.
Yeah. But it's not, is it? It's at Goodison, so
I can see Liverpool's players being really, really up for this. The Merseyside derbies, they tend to go one or two ways. They're either absolutely rotten or the absolute belters. I think this one's going to be a belter, as largely as a result of what's happened this week. So I think Everton 2, Liverpool 3. That's my pick.
On the Scouse front as well, in terms of the court case and stuff like that, I quite like the fact that today's Maggie Thatcher's 85th birthday. And if she's sitting at home watching the TV, all she's seeing is Scouser celebrating and miners celebrating.
Yeah.
That's all she's still watching.
Speaking of them miners, I'm pretty sure the second fella out of the mine was Rafa Benitez.
Not seen that. I'll look it up.
It was definitely.
How did he fit in that 21-inch
thing? That's it. So, I think he went
stuck in there for so long.
He's gone down there to lose some weight, but I can't confirm whether or not it was Roy Hodgson knocking about asking to go down there.
Was Bruno Giroud down there as well?
Yeah,
Bruno Giroud.
New Zidane. Could be. He could be.
Oh, dear. Right, okay, we'll move on to class and arse. And making his class and arse debut this week is Mike.
Well, for class and arse,
oh,
seeing as I'm northern.
Class ass and gravy.
Yeah. Oh, how did you know my three turn-ons?
Your mum told me.
Oh, geez.
She put it on Facebook.
That's my boy.
Right, for class this week, I've gone for Chris Maguire, the Scotland under 21 striker.
What a goal.
Who scored direct from kickoff against Iceland. Look it up on YouTube. Fantastic.
We'll put it on a site.
It was on, we'll have it on the homepage of the podcast site.
Brilliant goal. I mean, they did go on to lose against Iceland, so Scotland still did what they did.
Got to take positives from that, though. He scored a goal from an absolute day away.
They lost to Asda's last night. That's how bad they are.
And for us, I've gone for Harry Redknapp, not just because I hate him, but because he came out this week and defended Hicks and Gillette's tenure at Liverpool.
Yeah,
which,
I couldn't believe that.
Even as a Manchester United fan, is just ridiculous. I mean, he actually blamed the fans for the way it's gone.
Well done, Harry.
I mean, you're welcome in the
Anfield
just
he's
next
just
England
an idiot.
Manager.
Yeah. I think he did say, well, it's not Hicks and Gillette's fault, but I wouldn't turn down the England job if he came out. Yeah, just a shameless self-publicist who, every time I do this, will probably be the arse.
Yeah, okay, it's fair enough.
Right, okay, that's a great way to end the show. Go to the website www.footballpodcast.co.uk. We're on twitter.com/footballpodcast, Facebook at facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, and say hello to Mike's mum.
Hi, Mum.
You can now have the show on your website as well. We have the technology. You can actually embed the show onto your own website. So if you run a football website, you can have the football podcast.
Or any website, really.
It doesn't have to be a football website, I suppose. It could be anything. Get in touch with us at banter@footballpodcast.co.uk about that or anything else. Right, that's us done this week. Say goodbye, Mike.
Bye, Mum.
Bye, Mike's mum.
Goodbye, Mike's mum. If we're all going to do it.
Goodbye, Mike's mum. See you next week.